You send signal, you listen for an echo. At the first splinters, you run to tell Geppetto. And in the worst winters, the whole thing feels untenable. Crow took me by the shoulder and he told me, honey, don't let go.
Nobody feels the honey. You are just fearful.
Close to the edge.
Chapter 14. T.A. Yeah, your human police and meta-terrorists have them in some buildings, but the healthy ones are supposed to be released soonish. T.A. Sorry, I can't explain it better. Your legalese is even more annoying than ours. T.A. I feel so fucking stupid not being able to parse that shit. God. It's not even like it's anything complicated. GT. Shush, shush, my good man. Your brain is still stupendous amounts of brilliant, even at its most rambunctious. GT. Why, if being unable to parse these makes you a fool, then what am I, right? Ha ha! Truncated grip. You shushing him now? Wow, what does Iridia think of this? T.A. Thinks it's fucking hilarious that of all things to pick up from her, he chose that one a fucking course. I mean, it's AA, what else? GT, what is wrong with wishing to soothe my good pal Solix in the quaint and friendly manner of his people? Truncated grip, nothing, buddy. Turntech Godhead, yeah, absolutely nothing. Truncated grip, mentioning this for no reason at all, but it's amazing how you can really feel Karket's absence in this chat room somehow. Turntech Godhead. But anyway, re the pirates being let free, wow, Terezi will be super rad amounts of pleased. GG. Well, you know they don't have any papers on them, but apart from that, the police has no proof that they did anything wrong. Frustrated face. They weren't even in anyone's territorial waters, I don't think. GT. So they'll just be sent back home and get off scot-free? Why, the fiends, that is dad-blastedly outrageous! GG. Yeah, unimpressed face. Turntech Godhead. It's that or us coming out with them having attacked us and we punted them off the ship thanks to several aliens, though. GG. Yeah, that wouldn't go well, unimpressed face. Turntech Godhead. Meh, I know. Turntech Godhead. I guess being trounced that badly is punishment enough. Truncated grip. But like, what if next time they attack people with a little less swag than we've got? GG. Yeah. Frown. T.A. Nah. Truncated grip. Huh? T.A. Won't happen. Because. T.A. Of. T.A. Reasons. T.A. Fuck, my think pen is splitting in like three pieces. The asymmetrical asshole. GG. You should go lay down. T.A. I had a theory starting to take shape about the pirates. Like, why so many? T.A. Like, why so many and T.A. other things? T.A. But then downswing. Welp. T.A. And now, migraine. Truncated grip. Dude, you really need to go lay down. You're typing all fucked up. Truncated grip. You're not even giving us the normal amount of eye strain with your goddamn Helk work anymore. That's just weird. GG. And mildly alarming. Big frown, big frown, big frown. Turntech Godhead. Anyway, it's easy to see why here and now, and so many, I mean, it's not every day that the Crocker heiress goes traveling through those lawless reaches without any escort. TG. Visible ones, at least. TA. No, that wasn't... TA. No, I... TA. Fk. Brain. Cannot screen. TA. Brids. GG. I'm logging you out for your own good, Solix. Iridia'll be with you in a minute, so just close your eyes and wait for her, okay? GG. It'll be okay. We can keep talking when you wake up. Smile. Twin Armageddon's TA is offline. AA. I've got him. Thanks. AA. Jake, can you go feed the Tinkerbells before they break into the bag and eat it all? I had to stop in the middle and they're pissed. AA. As much as tiny fairy bulls ever get pissed, but we don't want them deciding next step is getting into the hive. That'll be annoying. GT. Of course, my lady. I'm at your command. I'll rush over there straight away. GT. Doffs hat. Bows. GT. Later, gents. Gallops away like he's being chased by ravenous, meat-hungry fairy bulls. Golgoth's Terror, GT, is offline. Apocalypse Arisen, AA, is offline. GG. I guess I'll go too. I might as well get rid of my chores early in the day. Big grin. Turntech Godhead. Ew, responsibilities, Harley, you repulsive fiend. GG. It won't kill you to do yours either, Dave. Go, go, go! Shocked face. Turntech Godhead. Okay, okay, catch you later. Truncated Grip. Yeah. Truncated Grip. Sure. Truncated Grip. Later. Garden Gnostic, GG, has closed the memo. Hey, buddy, where are you going? Don't tell me you're leaving. I wanted to visit your sweet bachelor pad. You arch an eyebrow at John from your doorstep. He came down the staircase just as you were getting out. Just gotta pick up the dregs of my Solidex from the floor. You're welcome to come with. Aw, I could wait here, he says, arms crossed behind his head and grinning innocently. Yeah, you totally want him in your room when you're not there. That is not at all likely to end in whoopee cushions in strange places for the rest of the trip. That is the downside of not being a floaty sprite anymore that you never saw coming, to be honest. Let me rephrase. You can come with me and then later visit my sweet-ass private castle. Or you can sit here on the carpet like a naughty dog that peed on the bed and wait for me to feel like letting a friend abandoner like you in. John grumbles and then shrugs it off. Okay, then. What the heck did you do with your Solidex, bro? Weaponized the hell out of it, you answer modestly, as you amble your way toward the lower-level staircase. Oh, cool! Yeah, cool. Shit, you didn't even ask bro if the guy survived. You consider, and then you bury deep the thought that bro might never mention it again, might have just dropped the body overboard for you and will never tell. Bragging about Solidex shenanigans suddenly feels real fucking awkward. You shoulder past John and go down first so he won't see your pinched lips. Nah, actually I'd committed the mistake of capture-logging GCAT to keep it out of the way, and it, like, didn't enjoy that. Didn't enjoy that very angrily. John laughs a bit, but it's mostly sympathetic. Whoops. Yeah, I was trying to hide, too. That fucking radioactive bag of fur and assholes. Man, John commiserates, and slaps you on the back. Thank fuck you're on the last step of the staircase now. You stumble out, hand casually in your pocket. When you guys turn left toward the laundry room, and wow, yeah, bro and Dirk have swept things against the walls where they could do it with a foot, but your shit really is everywhere. The laundry room is a royal mess, too. The washing machine was moved on top of another washing machine, and it looks like it'll need some repairs. Welp, those are some nice dings and loose parts. At least there's no blood. Go you! You might have crushed some guy's trachea to death, but at least he didn't leave a mess for y'all to clean up. It's tempting as fuck to just label everything holy mess and put it in your inventory like that. But the second you actually need any of that shit, yeah, no. Okay, let's organize things in piles then. Sure, but I'm not handling your undies, he says, towing out a pair of clean boxers in the middle of your other clothes. I handled yours just yesterday. I feel so betrayed. Wow, I give and I give, and you take everything. What kind of relationship is this? The little brat grins and manages to kick your undies off his foot and into the laundry basket in the corner. Blech, they were still perfectly wearable. Like a little floor dust ever stopped you putting clothes on your ass. You'd have spent half your life naked otherwise. There, there, Carmencita. I'll give you a big bonus. Nice, reminding me I'm nothing but the maid, senor. That diamond had better be extra big, or no more naked apron for you. John ruins the roleplay by sporfling majorly. You have to admit that if he had escalated it any further, you might have been the one to scream uncle. Fake hitting on John used to be the highlight of your day on the Golden Ship before you got with Jade. And a little bit during, to be honest. But yeah, you've moved on from that particular ill-advised crush. And while it's still hilarious in small doses, and not in person, it's... you're not sure. You think you might be growing out of it some. Very slowly. At this rate, you'll be graduating out of Gay Chicken sometime in your 40s. No, it's not really the Gay Chicken part. It's the cowardly, hopelessly lingering corner of your brain that was all titillated about gaining what-if material. You think maybe in a few months it won't be weird any longer. Just funny. But right now it is a bit. Huh. Aw, man, I think it's ruined. You blink up at John, who pours the content of his hand into yours, and... yeah, he's right. Someone stomped the shit out of that USB drive. The plastic casing is missing chunks, and the metal underneath is warped, and when you thumb at the port, it clicks loose in your palm. Yeah, I think you might be right. What was on it? Maybe you can get it back somewhere else. I mean, the porn will be hard to download, but hey. You snort, half-hearted. Nah, man, that was my sweet bro and Hella Jeff files. Most of it is still on the website, but there were, you know, notes and half-done pages and clip art things. John is staring at you, making a weird, pained grimace. You shrug and chuck the key into a wastebasket. Aw, maybe Roxy or Dirk can save it? Nah, don't bother. You turn away and crouch to capture log 3 of your new pairs of shoes. Maybe next time you should just leave them in your closet. That'll learn you to unpack properly. Yeah? Bird? Aw, fuck. You never know what to do when John sounds all awkward and careful like that. The dude is a great friend, but sensitive as a brick. And he seems to believe what you need more of in your life is tough love. He prods because he cares. Great. But you don't know what to do with him when he gets like this. And neither does he, and it's always awkward as fuck. Are you blushing? No, there must be a separate, completely valid reason why your neck is suddenly feeling too warm. Yeah. Are you, you know, okay? You snort. Can't help it. Throw him a quick little half-smile over your shoulder. I'm good. John leans in, hands on his knees, and makes a dubious face down at you. I am disbelieving this statement, dang seriously, young man. Sorry, Mr. Egbert, sir. Heh, you sift through a pile of random stuff, and wonder if you don't want to throw away half of it regardless of any broken status. Really, though, that's weird. I thought I'd mind more, I guess. Well, I suppose it's not like... SBAHJ is something that needs a lot of planning, he allows with a moo. And it'll only add to the shittiness if your clip art stuff changes in the middle. No, I meant I... You don't know how to say it. You're not entirely sure what you want to say. Maybe it's just a today thing. Maybe I'll change my mind again tomorrow. He prods you with his toes. Which means, in non-telepathy dude language? No, for serious, where is your mind at today, dude? Well, I... You hesitate. Chew on dry skin on your lip. Chew a thumbnail next as you try to word it right. And the more sentences you start, the more you realize that isn't where it started. When I became a sprite, you know, I kept going with the comic... And Dave didn't care because what I did was what he wanted to do, and I don't know, he would have done it himself if I wasn't there. So back then it was, I was doing it because I had the free time for it, But the credit was kind of going to both of us. John crouches at your side, arms holding onto his knees, and peers at you in a way that's probably supposed to be encouraging. Instead, he looks kind of constipated, but it's the thought that counts. But then, recently, he didn't seem interested any longer, and I figured, well, it's been 3 years, you know, and he's got a girlfriend to be busy with, and even when I was with Jade, it wasn't like I slept when I didn't want to. So I thought he was dropping it, and it was, like, only mine? John hums and strokes his non-existent beard and goes, yes, interesting, continue. You elbow him. He lets himself fall on his butt on a pile of old magazines. But then there's this movie made by yet another friggin' Dave, and it's like the epitome of SBAHJ, and exactly what I would have envisioned with a few more years to hone my fucking craft and... And? You shake your head. I don't think I can explain it to you. It's weird. It's like... Okay, I know where it can go now, so I'm not interested in the trip anymore. Like, okay, the contents of this drive, I bet he did it years ago in his own timeline. I bet it was exactly as I'd planned it, or maybe even better. And I'm... Okay, then, he can have it. You prod at the things on the floor. Capture-log a pile of CDs and an antique Game Boy, not even advance. I was pissed as hell when I thought Dave was trying to take it back. But now, I don't even want it anymore. And that was last week. How the hell does my brain even work, bro? I can't figure it out. Ha ha. He bumps shoulders with you. Man, if you wanted to know that, you'd go ask Rose. I don't get your brain either, bud. You're a weirdo through and through. You bite at your lip some more. Chew on the end of your thumb. Pretend it's only casual and you don't even notice you're doing it, and yeah, no, it is toolish. Might as well embrace it. Hell, yesterday I blew up at Jade because Dave and stupid shit. No, okay, that wasn't all because of SBAHJ. Or even, like, mostly, but ugh, fuck. You rake a hand through your hair. Groan. Flop. John bumps his shoulder into yours again. Bump. Bump, almost sending you flying the other way. It's somehow comforting. Heh. Yeah, that sounds, hells of complicated. You stare at your mess and try to think of nothing. But see, aw, bless him. John looks so serious. His cheeks are even a little puffed up. He looks like a squirrel. I might not be able to guess at your whole life history with just a little information like Rose, but I can't help but notice that, well, it's a Dave's problem. Or probably. I mean, you felt different before that third Dave dude came up, didn't you? Blah. He nods like you actually agreed. Well, you kind of did. So maybe you should go talk to the Dave who's actually here. On account of older Dave being, well... He doesn't finish the sentence awkwardly. You both know it ends in not. Not only is Dirk's bro not here in this universe, at this point he has basically never existed. The new universe just rewrote him right the fuck out of everyone's history, that poor asshole. Then again, he was dead anyway. Parallel universe shit is so stupid complicated. Point is, you know you could make SBAHJ into a movie now, and you'd be plagiarizing no one but yourself. God damn it, Egbert. He snickers. Or should I can the advice and just nod and say, that's rough, man, a lot. 'Cause Karkat seems to feel like anything more is way inappropriate. Karkat is completely neurotic about his quadrant boundaries, man. You answer, and nudge his shoulder back. Anyway, how's the brothers thing going? The shine of having to share a bathroom wear off yet? Haha, shut up. You're just jealous because my bros are more fun than yours. I bet you wish Dad had adopted you too. You stare at him. John. John, no. No, John. I would not be an egg derp for all the swag in the world that bro hasn't already nabbed. That's just... No. Come on! You totally want to get up to tons of bro-friendly fun with Gamzee, Makara, Egbert, and Carcat, Egbert Vantis. Yep! All you need on top of this morass of adolescent confusion is a sprinkle of incest! I'll pass. You could be bird egg... Oh, God! Bird egg! It's so lame that you might, perhaps, even laugh a little. When you're done with the shit in the laundry room, the wastebasket is full, but mostly with shitty old magazines and plane tickets that you forgot to throw away, a couple of capless pens and penless caps, exposed film, post-its with quotes that struck you as special that you've long since forgotten the context for. You get up to check the corridor and blink. Carcat is sitting on the lowest stair at the other end of it. Dude, are you two done? He blusters, jumping to his feet. Good. He won't look at you straight on. Huh. John, if you're done, if you're done, Dad's expecting us to give a hand in the dining room. You idly capsulog the rest of the mess as John slips by you and goes to his so weird brother. Yeah, sure, what about? Broken chairs and things. He says most of the damage is repairable, and you learned how to fix some of that in school? Carcat looks dubiously at him. Because I had to tell him if anyone handed me a hammer, I'd finish off the furniture, not fix it. And considering your track record about wrecking things with hammers is orders of magnitude worse than mine, can you really? What? Of course I can. I was pretty good at my woodshop classes, thanks. He sighs and stretches his back, shakes himself. Okay, Bird, I'll finish later. Dad beckons. Come on, Carcat, you can hold things in place, you'll see. He stalks ahead. Carcat pauses to give you a weird, pointed look, and then goes, almost silent. Ha! You arch an eyebrow, tilt your head, like a bird. What? Carcat opens his mouth, looks at John's back, disappearing at the staircase, like, whoops, he's still in earshot. And then, eyes narrowed in a mean, vindicated way, he makes a lozenge shape with his indexes and thumbs, nods his head at John, points the lozenge almost aggressively at you. You groan, face heating a bit. Carcat, come on, what's the holdup? Carcat follows at a stomp. It's your stench, John. Your nauseous body odor. One wonders how Bird could stand to be that close and not die. Now climb so we can get some air before you asphyxiate me. You were left behind. Sigh. The laundry was left at the bottom of the machines. It's still kind of damp in there. So you move the load handful by handful to the dryers and guesstimate the settings. You suppose nothing bad will happen if the clothes are too dry. You empty the uprooted machine, too, climbing up on the first washer to get there and balancing on your knees. It rumbles under you, and you briefly worry it'll unbalance you. But it's nowhere near that bad yet. It'd be kind of nice to make out on one of these someday. Maybe all those teen movies were onto something. You go to the machine room next, to see if you can help with repairs. But Rami and Roxy and Dirk are already there, and Roxy's smaller than you and two-handed. She doesn't need you to slip into cracks Dirk's a bit too wide-shouldered to get into, or hold her stuff still. You hang around for a few minutes, and then you leave. It's cramped enough with three people, and they're busy, and you should go find something useful to do. Maybe there'll still be furniture to move back into place. Hell, maybe John and Carcat need someone to move their repaired chairs or whatever. You come out onto the main deck between the saloon and the kitchen. Both dads are here, one of them sweeping dropped flour into a pile, and the other washing some kind of weird utensil. Then again, beyond forks and knives and spoons and maybe whisks, it's all weird to you. Anyone need some help in here? You amend your joke, mostly because you think they'd make, oh, son, no, faces at you, which, you'll pass. Okay, also because you didn't even think before you said it, but it would have been funny. We're all right here, young man. Thank you. One of them smiles at you. You think maybe he's Dad Bert? He's a little softer around the eyes, especially when he smiles. Gentler, you think? maybe? You've been interacting with him more than with Crockpop, since Crockpop's domain is the pilot's room, and you don't usually have a reason to go there. You wonder if he called you young man because he has as little of a clue which one you are as you do of him. Well, okay, I'll go then. The bulk of the mess was cleaned up yesterday, before the movie, and you're going to suck at anything broom-related. Maybe if they need the carpets vacuumed in the dining room once they're done playing with wood and big tools, but that won't be for a while. You should do as John said and go find Dave and get it out of the way. Can I have 2 apple juices to go, please? You add as you step into the room. Egbert goes, hmm? Curious? Crocker says nothing, just flicks you a look and then dries his hand and opens the drinks fridge beside him. Gotta bribe someone, you explain, and let Crockpop tuck them both in the crook of your arm. Good use of resources, he says, with a little nod, and sends you off. Huh. You go. Truncated Grip, TG, started pestering Turn Tech Godhead, TG. Truncated Grip, yo dude, where you at? Turn Tech Godhead, who needs to know? Truncated Grip, I do, you ass butt. There's a beat without reply. Turn Tech Godhead, huh? Turn Tech Godhead, verse floor, back sun deck. Truncated Grip, be there in a sec. A glance through the glass door confirms that Karkat and John are there in the dining room, having a spirited argument. Karkat is waving a hammer around by the wrong end and probably ranting. John is laughing at him. Looks like fun. You jog up the stairs, because if you took them at a normal walk, you might start dragging your feet. He's alone, straddling a deck chair by the guardrail, someone's laptop between his knees. You drop one of the cans on his shoulder and go to sit on the end of the deck chair, turn to face the back of the yacht. Your chin comes up to the guardrail. You mostly see a lot of sky and some water. You stick the can between your knees and pop the tab. Another second. 2. 3. And he pops his. The two of you drink. Okay, he says. You're not pregnant. He makes a face. Yeah, like you weren't going to see that one coming. Terezi is totally the baby daddy, sorry. Under the cover of darkness, I thought she was Karkat, you understand. And of course, she thought I was you. Mad passion happened. He goes, uh-huh. Bland, uncaring disbelief. He's a bit annoyed. He didn't believe any of it. It was just the Terezi thing. Downstairs on the sparring deck, 2 wooden swords clack. You lean in to peer over the edge. Huh, speak of the devil. It's Terezi and Bro. He's in a defensive stance, letting her come at him. Their styles are way different. You're not sure how he plans to deal with her stabbing frontal attacks. It's pretty fun to watch, though. Takes you a minute to notice she's smiling at him. At some point, he quips something at her about fixing her footing, and she retorts something falsely obsequious, calls him Stride Elder. He snorts. He's totally flattered. Huh. They get along now. Looks like. Blech. Why's Dave not talking more? Dave, of all people! This is weird! The blood has been washed off the deck, but the wood is still scuffed in places. It'll take more than a quick wipe with soapy water to fix that, you guess. First time I saw a troll fight yesterday. They're pretty intense, aren't they? Like, wow, feral. Fuck yeah. For a fleeting second, he's almost smiling. Hot, you say, because it's what he's thinking. And coincidence, it's also what you think. Apparently, you like him dangerous. Who would've thunk? Dave sneaks you a sidelong look. Hey, dude, my girlfriend, no leering. You roll your eyes. No worries, I wasn't talking about her. He gets a weird look on his face. Oh my god, tell me you're not going after Kanaya. Tell me that, please. Lie if you have to. You stare at him. Are you fucking kidding? She's my bro, you asshole. Gross. Gamzee? You groan. It was a generalized air of hotness. Shut the fuck up. He gives you a look like, yeah, right. It's mostly not serious. If you keep going in that vein, you're going to squabble about nothing until you're both called away for some random chores. Fuck. Okay, gird your loins, self. Besides, it'll probably freak him out, which is always a bonus. Causing yourself to freak out in the process is totally acceptable collateral damage. Hey, you say, serious as you know how to be, I'm gonna break the Strider code. You can't even look at him. You pretend to gaze out at the horizon. What a fascinating and totally new sight. Wow, this water looks so different from yesterday's, and you're rambling again to distract yourself from shit. Damn it. Oh no, Dave groans. When you steal a glance, he's staring at you in either horror or distaste. You're not entirely sure. Oh yes, you reply grimly. Emotional honesty and fresh feels all up in that bitch. He lets himself fall back on the lounge chair, lifts a hand to hold his forehead in great, stoic suffering. The fact that it also hides his face even more is totally an accident, you're sure? Jesus, can't you at least do it via pester chum or something? What's wrong with you? You're tempted to make a crack about, funny he asked, there's a list, but no, fuck, not like that. You don't want it to come across as whining. There's a problem on both sides that you need to sort out. It's not just your teen angst. You stay silent for a while, looking for words. He lifts his hand away from his face and his head so he can stare at you. He's probably squinting a little, trying to read you. You wonder if he can, right now, if he has any idea where you're coming from. It's so strange an idea. That you would know him, but he wouldn't know you. Can I still chew my leg off and escape? Oh, damn it, you know what I mean. Hell, sorry. You smirk a little to yourself. Wow, that's worth at least 10 shut up and listen points on the Lalonde scale. But I'll be generous and give you a pass, because it's actually pretty hilarious. Sadly, you still can't escape. I bribed you with apple juice. You took it from my hand. You're fucked now. He sighs, brings up a foot to prop on the edge of the deck chair. Okay, fire away. Yeah, only you still have no idea where to start. I don't know if you noticed yesterday morning at training, I got kinda pissed off. You mean when you stormed out after losing a bout with Dirk? Nah, didn't notice at all. You glare a bit. He's sipping at his can, trying to look unconcerned. Okay. Breathe, bird. He's just digging in his heels, and like hell you're gonna let him get away with derailing this. Acceptable losses are still exactly that. Wasn't Dirk I was pissed off at. It was you. And Jade, too, later. But for shitty you-related reasons, so we'll pass on those, because they're none of your business. You just said they were me-related. You sigh. Short and sharp through your nose. Dave. God damn, why does he have to be such a... Okay, calm. Breathe. Stop being an avoidant shithead. It won't help. Neither of us is getting out of this. His brow furrows. The skin at the corner of his eyes tightens. Then how about you get to the point instead of ranting about dire and spooky consequences with, like, jack shit of substance behind them? Oh, he fucking didn't. You know what? Okay. You know your voice has gone hard. You know you didn't want a confrontation. You know you wanted to sort it out, and it'd be easier if you both could keep it calm and reasonable. And neither of you even likes confrontations anyway. And you're so fucking pissed off at him. You don't get to claim what other Dave does or did with his life as some kind of personal achievement anymore. He splutters. When the fuck did I? Yesterday. I fucking quote. Well, of course his movies are awesome. He's me. No. Fuck you. He's not. He sits up straighter. Shoulders tense. Hands fisted at his sides. I never said he was, but what kind of fucking difference does that make? You watch those movies too. Tell me they're not exactly what you'd make. He's us in another universe. That doesn't make him not us. You're not quite angry enough to chuck the can. It's still half full of juice. You put it down under the chair, and then you turn in your seat to face him, and you lean in so you can glare at him straight over the edge of your shades, so he can see your eyes. He's you if you'd lived without Bro or any John or Jade, and without any game to play, and I'm you if you'd fucking failed at keeping your Jade and John alive, and you didn't spend 3 years with Rose and a bunch of trolls being a god of time. And if you don't think that makes a fucking difference, then what the fuck happened in your timeline to make you such a self-centered moron? His jaw rolls. You can see him force himself to lean back against the chair, but he doesn't relax. You lean back a little, though you still don't turn to face the sea again. You try to calm down. They're really big differences, okay? I guess, he allows, after another 10 seconds, half-hearted. At least him, okay? Not raised by Bro? Who the hell is he, then? The attempt at humor is pretty lame. You huff out something that might perhaps pass for a chuckle. To, like, a deaf person. He sighs, frame going a little looser. When he speaks next, he sounds weary more than angry. You never said anything before. In the game, even, we both agreed. And that was after you diverged for, like, 4 months. You toe at your can, gazing down at it. In the game, I thought I was gonna die. He doesn't say anything. You can almost feel him flinching, even though it doesn't show. It didn't matter because you'd go on. I was dead the second I left the Alpha timeline. I was just waiting for the game to get around to making it official. Trim off the dead branches of the timeline tree. Nice little spot of gardening. What a pretty yard you've got here. I'd die, but you'd go on, and you were just me from an earlier save point. It was fine. It wasn't fine. It wasn't. But you'd rolled with it anyway, because what the fuck else was there to do about it? Complain? Refuse to lend a hand? Get Rose killed as well this time around? To up your score? And then I was a sprite. I was a game construct. What happens to a game construct when the game's over? It gets turned off. That's it. Purpose over. Sweet oblivion. At least we fucking won. You rub the heel of your palm against your eye for no reason you can discern. Too much sunlight. Yeah, must be it. It didn't matter because you were the real one and you were going to get out. And damn right I counted myself in that we, because what the fuck else could I do? Aw, man. You can't look at him. You won't. No. You were the real one and I wasn't. And fuck it. Fuck you. I want to be real too. Aw, hell. No. Hey, Bird. Bird. Don't make me hug you. Do not make me hug you. Jesus, fuck, where's everyone else? I'd even take fucking Gamzee. His hand is hovering over your shoulder like he thinks one of you will explode with contact. Matter and antimatter. Parallel universe clones must never touch. Ah! Ha-ha! Okay, is this good laughter or bad laughter? What the hell? You're freaking me out. Stop, Birdstrider. I will tell Bro on you! Oh god, he's so freaked out. It's fucking hilarious. You burst out laughing in his face. You might be sobbing a little. Jesus! He's scrunching his eyebrows at you hardcore. Fingers twitching. Touch, don't touch, run for the Bahamas. You giggle. Then you wipe your face under your shades. Then you put your shades in your hair like a fetching and fashionable headband to hold your tousled silken locks or what the hell ever out of your face. And you look at the horizon. It's so blue out here. Blue and green. Makes you miss Jade's planet. Rose's was sucky about normal colored water or non-blinding levels of light, for that matter. I'm good, you say. Uh-huh. That doubtful expression. How does this tool ever think everything he feels doesn't make it to his face again? I'll be better if you give me your juice. He snorts. Nah, you're fine. He swings his leg over the laptop and the chair, and then you're leaning elbows against the guardrail in tandem, looking at the ocean. "I'm gonna call you Pinocchio from here on," he says, just a tiny bit tentative. You offer your fist for a righteous bump. He obliges you. "Wow," you say without really thinking. "I actually do want to." "What?" You hesitate, for a second. "Ha ha ha, you've already squandered all your cool Strider coins. May as well go for broke and destitute. Be real. For a while I was pissed as fuck I wasn't still a sprite." You can see how much he has no idea what to do with that. "Uh-huh," he goes, brow furrowed once again. You shrug. "Probably change my mind again tomorrow. Being a sprite was rad as hell. I had those crazy ghostly powers to troll peeps with. Also a tail as long as your mom's dick. That was swag as hell." "Your mom is also my mom, asshole." Are we talking about Rami or some hypothetical suburban well-endowed lab here? You stare at each other. And then he groans and hits his forehead against the guardrail, between his clinging hands. You smother a smirk. "Bikini," he groans, tortured. "The asshole." You join him in headbutting the guardrail. Downstairs, Terezi and Dirk are having a go at each other. Bro watches, sitting off to the side. But you think you catch him sneaking a glance your way. You hope you weren't loud or anything. Arg! Dave heaves out a massive sigh. Okay, I'll can the Dave Collective references. Thanks, bro. You still have that can of apple juice under the deck chair. And wow, it just so happens you also have a face full of awkward. Quick, drink to forget! No, wait, arg! So, what do we do about SBAHJ? He gives you a despondent shrug and drains his own can. I don't know. Put it on hold for now? You nod slowly. More of an I hear you than I agree. I kinda thought, I mean, since we came back, that, like, you weren't into it any longer. His mouth twists in a way you don't remember seeing before on him. You remember it on Terezi. That odd, doubtful twist. Huh. Cute. No, I was. Am. I haven't really thought about it. He sighs, rakes a hand through his hair. Seeing the movie was rad as hell, I just... Yeah. Can we talk about it later? You crush your empty can against the guardrail. Yeah, sure. Then you get up. I'm going downstairs to check on John and Karkat. You? He capsulogs the laptop, pulls himself up. Yeah, I'll see if Terezi is done playing yet. He bumps into you as you both start toward the staircase. I'm not staying here either. You contaminated it with your touchy-feely cooties. This place is forbidden now, blighted with a total dearth of coolness. How are we alike again? You bump him right back. You spend the whole way down the stairs, trying to shove the other one around, more or less subtly. Yeah, I wonder. I'm obviously much more handsome. You take advantage of your shades being up in your hair to bat your eyelashes and duck lips at him. Your uke is what you are. I mean, seriously. Feelings? That's what you are, the uke twin. We should rename you Bird Feather Fluff Sashayer. Also, you apparently hug people? I rest my case. You're shoving each other on the sparring deck now, in a corner near the glass doors. And there's the dining room, and the saloon, and John and Karkat behind you. There's Terezi and Bro and Dirk looking up. He wants to escalate this. He has come to the wrong dude. You don't gotta be jealous. It's not that hard, you say. Let me show you. You might only have one arm, but you make it count, clinging as far around his shoulders as you can get, leaning as much of your weight on him as you can, and then you rub your cheek against his like an affectionate cat and drop a big kiss on his ear. Okay, maybe his neck a bit. He shrieks! Just a bit and right in your ear, but when he shakes free and you lurch after him, still duck-lipping, You can see John laughing his ass off, Bro looking mildly despairing. Never do that again. Shh, baby. Let me soothe the ravages of your loveless life with my tender physical affection. We can snuggle in front of the TV. I will braid your hair. You don't have to be lonely. Terezi, help me! He grabs her by the shoulders, whirls her between the two of you. You stare at her, arch an eyebrow, and she steps out of the way with a bright, hungry grin. You oblige her with an enthusiastic tackle of her bow on some convenient lounging cushion. No, stop! Help! You can see him looking around, desperate for rescue, but Bro will only groan and tell him to manage. Carcat is staring with a look of what the fuck on his face, and John is too busy laughing himself into the floor. Dirk, get me out of here! He's crazy! He'll kiss me again! Sprawled on top of him on the deck, you nuzzle his spluttering face and purr right through his spittle, tender as you can. Who's the uke now? Later, you go to get the laundry from the dryers and Carcat comes with you. Apparently, he will explode the brand new and exciting field of fratricide if he lets John hammer his fingers down one more time. He shows them to you as you make your way down, inflamed and full of righteous rage. They are indeed pretty bruised, though he can still bend them all right. One of the nails will probably be purple tomorrow. Daw, you say, and there's no one in this corridor on your floor between the two staircases, so you catch his wrist and kiss his fingertips. It's mostly because you're still in a good mood from ruining Dave so completely, and also getting that conversation out of the way. You end up with your back hitting the wall and several dozen pounds of compact troll muscle pinning you there. And then he kisses you. Fuck. What? Yes? Huh? Yes. Okay. It's hungry and a bit clumsy from being so frantic. Frantic is, oh shit, hot. Pointy teeth nibbling. Is he purring? Jesus, his chest is rattling with scratch grating noise. Is he trying to destroy you? He rocks against you a bit. You can feel his muscles flexing all the way from his arms to chest to belly. You can feel his thighs straining. Fuck. Wow. You can feel his shit. You don't even know what he has, but it's all snuggled up to your dick through your shorts and... oh. His lips break away from yours and... no, hey, wait. It was all warm and slick and your jaw aches a bit and you weren't done with it, okay? Where... the hell did that come from? You say. Your voice is absolutely not shaky, for the record. Okay, it's a little shaky. Warning, warning, Tornado Vantis touching down. You need to stop making out with your clone, Carcat tells you, grumpy and red-faced, eyes skittering away. And then he just obviously gives up on pretending really badly to be cool and unaffected, and he dives in to kiss you again. His hands are in your hair, cradling the back of your head. His body, fuck yeah, you're pinned. You're so pinned. Your footing is bad and, oh, intense. Your hips press back instinctively. You're not ready. It's going too fast. Your brain's not there yet. Your body is screaming at you that, who cares? This is happening now. His tongue is all over your mouth. Jesus, not your esophagus. Can a mouth be devirginized? Because that's what it feels like. Wow. Wow. He breaks away again, panting, presses his forehead against your shoulder. You rub your hand up his spine to the back of his neck. You're both breathing too fast. What now? Shit. What do you do now? It feels so good, but you were really not expecting it, okay? It's a bit... this is public. I meant to say, do you want to... my room's next door? He pulls back to stare at you, almost nose to nose. His lips are still damp, shiny, plumper looking. You can see the tips of his row of little teeth behind them. So fucking cute. Wow, he's verbose today. You compensate. I mean, if we want to continue, it'd be smarter is all. But it's fine if you... I mean, I don't... fuck... wow, hell. A chuckle shakes his chest. You feel it against yours, resonating through you. Oh. Oh, hell, he's so cute when he's trying not to laugh. His eyes get all shiny and curve like half moons. Shit's too adorable. No, no, stop! Then he lets himself laugh, adorable and chagrined. Yeah, I think I'm gonna pass. I'm really sorry for being a bulge cheese. Oh, thank fuck. He blinks at you. You groan and try to liquefy into the wall. Not that I don't. I mean, I'm sure it'd feel super awesome. I just... Wow. You can't start things off with that level of unbridled passion, dude. My feelings are a delicate, fragile, woodland creature. And you barged in like, IDEK, a hungry hippo or something. I need gentler handling, bro. I'm a delicate princess. You scared me with your manly hunger. Look at me. I'm all a flutter. I'd swoon if you weren't pinning me with your crotch. Oh, God, Carcat. Oh, Jesus, he says, and shoves himself off you, hands pushing against the wall. He leaves them there, his hands, on both sides of your head, bracketing you. And you might play it up a little bit for the laughs, but you're actually not certain your legs would hold you up too well if you didn't have the wall at your back still. You let out a breathless chuckle. Jesus, indeed. You need to stop being, like, surprise hot, you know? Like, hey, I'm just a random cute dude, and then suddenly, nope, my secret identity is Super Carcat. My superpower is gifting insane boners. I am powered by lust. He rolls his eyes and, thank fuck, puts a hand on your mouth to keep you from babbling. He's blushing again, though. So cute! Like you can talk. I'm serious. Never hit on your clone again. I will not be held responsible for the flood of carnal hunger and surprise ass groping in the basement. But you didn't even grope my ass, you point out, the second your mouth is free. Whoops. He stares at you, red eyes piercing, eyebrows drawn. Do you actually want me to? Oh, Lord. The thought makes you go feverish and tingly all over. Core muscles drawn tight. You're still not. The thought of starting it all again? You wet your lips. Try on a smile. Later, yeah? Let your fingers time to heal, dude. He's nodding away like a bobblehead from the first word you say. Yeah, okay, that works. It's a date. I mean, not a date, just my hands in your ass cheeks date. A date in a colloquial way for the love of horror terrors. Can someone kill me now? Can't, you say, and kiss his cheek on the way to the other staircase. Zombie hands are too bony to be allowed on my sweet rump. He grumps all the way down to the laundry room, but he comes anyway. You try not to think too hard about pushing him against one of the machines and kissing him some more. From the way his eyes keep skittering off and finding yours, you have a feeling you're on the same wavelength about that.